Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2530, with the release date of Friday, April 24th, 2026, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC grants a satellite constellation company the ability to provide cell phone service from space. A popular antenna maker returns to the ham radio market. And New Zealand amateurs prepare to mark the centennial of their national organization. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2530 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with breaking news. As Newsline prepared to go to production, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission announced it had authorized AST SpaceMobile's full 248-satellite constellation to use requested parts of the radio spectrum, including those that had drawn objections from the amateur radio community. The agency's move will permit AST to fulfill its goal of providing services to consumers in so-called dead zones regions without terrestrial networks, especially for emergency services. The successful application on behalf of the Low Earth Orbit Satellite System was granted on the 21st of April with conditions. The grant for the use of 698 to 960 megahertz includes permission to make use of 430 to 440 megahertz for emergency control and tracking of the satellites, a move that amateur radio operators feared would cause interference with ham's operations. The FCC said that AST emergency telemetry use will be limited to the 430.5 MHz, 432.3 MHz, 434.1 MHz, 435.9 MHz, and 439.5 MHz frequencies for a duration of less than 24 hours. The FCC said in the past that interference with ham radio was, quote, unlikely, end quote. A leading U.S. antenna manufacturer is coming back to the ham radio marketplace following its departure last summer. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, picks up the story from here.
Stepper, which announced last summer that it was halting production of its popular antennas for the amateur radio market, is returning to the ham radio business. A recent statement on the website of the Washington State Company said that although Stepper had decided last year to focus on commercial sales, recent favorable developments in that sector are permitting the company to resume supplying hams with antenna kits, parts, and accessories as before. The ham radio market is to be served only by online sales. Stepper said that the commercial side of its business may lead to the introduction of new products for amateur radio. Its statement acknowledged that its earlier decision was made, quote, in search of more stable long-term income sources, end quote, but said that Stepper never gave up the hope that it would go back to serving amateur radio operators in some way. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Plans are moving ahead for 66 services to expand on the 2.7 gigahertz band, as we learn from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The promise of creating space for 6G communication on the 2.7 gigahertz band has moved closer to reality in the U.S. following the band's successful technical review by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. The NTIA has been mandated to find room for full power commercial license use on the band, which already has a pair of primary users, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the Federal Aviation Administration. The NTIA issued a press release stating that it is assisting both agencies to make sure that radar systems, weather monitoring, and aviation safety technology will not be vulnerable to interference. Ariel Roth, the NTIA administrator, said, quote, "This milestone brings us one step closer to ensuring the American people realize the full benefit of this spectrum as quickly as possible," end quote. A report last year by the Global System for Mobile Communications Association cautioned that communication capability will be challenged by 2030 unless more mid-band is identified for 6G use. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The Nunsfield House Amateur Radio Group wants everyone to know that where there's a mill, there's a way. So get ready to activate some of these historic sites or chase operators who are there. Dave Lee, M7TLB, tells us how.
Windmills, watermills, tidal mills, even horse mills. Historic sites like these, scattered around the UK, are celebrated annually in early May by the Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings. In 1996, the former Denbigh Dale Radio Society joined that effort by creating the Mills on the Air special event, which this year takes place on Saturday the 9th of May and Sunday the 10th of May. The Nunsfield House Amateur Radio Group, who organise this event now, stress that this is not a contest, but a recognition of the historical importance of each of these sites. Hams wishing to call CQ from any of these sites need to register on the event website and provide full information on the online form. Operators must, of course, secure permission from each of the mills to operate there. Of course, there will be awards, and shortwave listeners are encouraged to participate as well. This year, the organisers are asking that all award applicants consider making a donation to their local historic mill or directly to the Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings. For details about registering or to find out more about logging contacts, visit nharg.org.uk. Meanwhile, the Society has been collecting stories from volunteers, owners, or even amateur historians about the various mills in the UK, Ireland, or Europe and how they evolved. The stories will be published in a book. Submission deadline is the 1st of May. Visit the Society website at spab.org.uk for information on how to contribute. This is Dave Lee, M7TLB.
Congratulations to Bill Power, KB3WP, who was honored recently by the ARRL for his long service to the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club in Pennsylvania. Bill, who has been secretary for the past 3 years, had been nominated for the Gilbert Crosley Award for Exemplary Club Leadership by Club President Jim Bricker, N3JHB. Jim told Newsline that Bill's history of handling club correspondence, as well as members' questions with kindness and accuracy, and his willingness to help whenever needed, inspired him to nominate him for the honor. The presentation was made by ARRL Western Pennsylvania manager Joe Shupianis, W3BC. There are 100 reasons why hams in New Zealand are planning to attend this year's conference of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters. 100 reasons, one for each year the association has served radio operators. Jim Meachins at L2BHF explains why this is as much a celebration as a conference.
An annual conference comes along every year, but a centennial conference only comes along every 100 years, once in a lifetime. The New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters will be honouring its past and looking towards its future on the 30th and 31st of May in Auckland as guests gather for the Milestone Centennial Conference. The Ham Radio Spirit of Experimentation will acknowledge the earliest adventures in wireless and will explore the way today's hams test our advanced digital technologies. Presentations will tell NZRT's story from its earliest origins. NZRT members who pay for a full registration to the conference will receive a free copy of an illustrated book that tells the association's history. Other copies will also be available to purchase. Registration has opened, and visitors who book their accommodations before the 26th of April will be eligible for discounted rates. Details are available from the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WR2 ABA repeater system of the Larkfield Amateur Radio Club in Huntington, New York, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. local time. A longtime radio amateur is being remembered for his leadership in the National Amateur Radio Society of Italy and a variety of other significant contributions to ham radio in that nation. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us about him.
Graziano Sartori, India Zero Sierra Sierra Hotel, served the ARI, Italy's National Ham Radio Society, first as vice president of the Rome section and later as the national president. He's credited with developing the first database of Italy's amateur radio call signs. Joining in a long-running campaign with international amateur radio organizations, Graziano was a vocal proponent for having Morse code listed as an intangible cultural heritage element with UNESCO. Graziano died on the 8th of April. A tribute to him on the ARI website described him as a leader whose actions and personal interest in his fellow hams made him effective in his various roles throughout his long association with the organization. He was 89. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
One day, a promising young ham is going to make headlines for his or her contributions to amateur radio. It all begins here with the Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. So don't forget, you only have until the 31st of May to tell us about a promising young ham who is already making a difference in a big way. Nominees must be licensed hams who are 18 years of age or younger, and they must reside in the continental United States. Visit our website, arnewsline.org, and find the nomination form under the Awards tab. Submit the documentation that tells us how your nominee has played an important role, not just in the community of fellow amateurs, but in the community at large. Amateur Radio Digital Communications is looking to fill two part-time contract positions to support its ongoing work and software development. Daniel Garcia, W2DIY, tells us more about the jobs.
ARDC has remote positions open for a software developer and a technical writer who are experienced professionals familiar with free and open source projects. Both jobs are open to active amateur radio operators. The software developer is expected to be involved in bug fixes, code review, and deployment, and be capable of writing documentation that is developer-focused. JavaScript, CSS, HTML, MySQL, PHP, and Linux fluency is required. Candidates must have had prior experience with either ARDC or 44Net. The technical writer must be capable of writing for a public audience on topics relating to digital communications and amateur radio. A record of previously published articles is considered a plus. Both positions report to ARDC's technical director. For more details about requirements for these jobs, which carry a two-month renewable contract, see the links in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
If you've ever wanted to operate as part of the headquarters station of the Radio Society of Great Britain, and if you're planning to be in the UK in July, now's your chance to get on board, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Guest operators are being invited to get on the air this July as part of Station GR2HQ, the Radio Society of Great Britain's headquarters team in the IARU HF World Championship contest. Opportunities are now available for visiting operators, since many of the station's regular operators are already involved with this year's World Radio Sport Team Championship. In a notice in the WRTC 2026 Groups I.O. discussion, Nick Totterdell, G4FAL, chairman of the RSGB HF Contest Committee, said that the invitation to join the headquarters team extends only to those operators who are not committed to supporting the WRTC during the contest period. There's a good choice of locations throughout the UK. A maximum of 12 stations will be using the call sign GR2HQ in the IARU event on the six contest bands from such places as Wales, Scotland and England. Nick added that operating will be done in shifts at the various sites, most of which will be in members' homes, but with some elsewhere operating field day style. Interested radio operators should send an email to contestclub, all one word, at rsgbcc.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for Arno, F4AGG, and Lou, F5RAV, using the call signs C5D and C5C, respectively, from the Gambia between the 24th of April and the 8th of May. C5D will be active on RIDI, PSK, FT8, and C5C will be using SSB and CW. They're also scheduling an activation on the Bio Islands, IOTA number AF060, where they will be using the call sign C5B and operating via satellite RS44. A group of operators from Belgium will be using the call sign GB9IOW from the Isle of Wight, IOTA number EU120, from the 28th of April through to the 5th of May. They'll be operating SSB, CW, and digital modes on the HF bands and 6 meters, as well as via the QO100 satellite and 23-centimeter moon bounce. Listen for Mitsuru JE1HXZ using the call sign JE1HXZ/6 from Kuchino Island in the Takara Islands, IOTA number AS049, on the 21st through to the 28th of April. He'll be active using CW, SSB, RIDI, and FT8/FT4 on the HF bands and 6 meters. For QSL information and other details about any of these stations, visit their pages on QRZ.com. Few things symbolize the generous spirit of lending more than a library. It houses wisdom, entertainment, and life lessons, offering it all freely to borrowers as a community service. In Arizona, one amateur radio club has turned that definition inside out by being the ones making a loan to the library instead. Jim Davis, W2JKD, has this week's final story.
Now here's a library loan that any ham could appreciate. Some rigs and other shack equipment, all in good repair and functioning, showcased so the folks in Prescott, Arizona can see what all this radio fuss and excitement is about. The borrower is the Prescott Public Library. The lender is the Yovapai Amateur Radio Club, acting on a suggestion from club member Jim Zimmerman, N6KZ. The club offered to design a display area that's used by organizations on a temporary basis inside the library. The equipment's been on display through April, accompanied by details that explain what ham radio operators do and why. Jim told Newsline in an email, and I quote, "We're hoping to get some middle and high school student interest, as we have a nice club station, W7YRC, that we can show the kids how to operate," unquote. He said a few youngsters have already asked about becoming hams, and even the library staff has been intrigued. If things go according to plan, the club may consider returning another display next year. But for now, the library, like library books themselves, the exhibit has an expiration date, which in this case is the 30th of April. So for now, it's on borrowed time. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, ARDC, ARI, David Bihar, K7DB, FCC, 425 DX News, Jim Bricker, N3JHB, Jim Zimmerman, N6KZ, National Telecommunications and Information Administration, Nunsfield House Amateur Radio Group, NZART, PC Magazine Australia, QRZ.com Forums, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings, Telecompetitor, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.